Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Manoush Zomorodi, the host of WNYC's New Tech City, and I am thrilled to be sitting in for Brian Lehrer. On today's show, we'll be talking to Ralph Nader. We'll talk about why fussy babies get more screen time and how to catch a feral cat. But to kick things off, this is sort of awkward yet comforting. My first guest ever on the Brian Lehrer Show is New York One politics reporter Josh Robin. He's been following the controversy over horse-drawn carriages and whether or not they should be banned. And it should be noted that Josh also happens to be my husband. Please don't hold it against him. Josh, hello.
Oh, that's funny. Good morning.
Okay, so Josh, carriage horses are back on the op-ed pages, the tabloid front pages. The Daily News is launching a campaign to save them. Liam Neeson is leading the charge, the movie star. Just remind us, how big of a business is this actually?
Well, there are about a little less than 200 horses and a number of carriage drivers as well. And they're allowed to go, as many New Yorkers know and people from outside of New York, they're allowed to go basically around Central Park and also, you know, areas near there. They're generally housed on the far west side in stables. And as horse carriage advocates and drivers will tell you, they've been doing this for many, many years. In fact, they'll say that Central Park was designed by Frederick Law Olmsted in order to provide the best possible views from the back of a horse-drawn carriage. And more than a century later, the views are still gorgeous, they'll say, from the back of a horse-drawn carriage.
Okay, so listeners, we can take a couple calls on this. There are a lot of ideas for ways to better protect the horses instead of an outright ban. Do you want to offer your own? Call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. Or post your comment to our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. So, Josh, the animal protection group calling for the ban on carriage horses, they played a big part in the Democratic mayoral primary, right?
They did. It's a really interesting story. It involves, you know, old New York and new money and Citizens United and the mayor's race. So, you know, it has a little bit for everyone. NYCLAS is the big group that is looking to ban horse-drawn carriages and instead replace them with antique replica environmentally friendly cars. And they pumped a lot of money.
Wait. Antique replica environmentally friendly cars.
Yeah, so a little bit.
What do you know about that?
All right. So these cars are being built down or designed down in Florida. Actually, later on today, they're going to be on display for the first time at the auto show where I'm going to be headed later this afternoon. And they look like, you know, a turn of the 20th century car, except they're powered by batteries and they chug around Central Park, and that's supposed to be the replacement for the horse-drawn carriages. So in other words, the drivers would no longer be pulling the reins but rather steering the steering wheel. The NYCLAS group feels like this is a perfectly reasonable solution. You know, the folks who were employed driving horses would instead be ferrying around tourists and New Yorkers.
So no one loses their jobs in this case.
That's right, except that, you know, there's a lot of questions about that, and I'm sure that callers are going to opine on it. Certainly the Daily News and the Post and the Times are on their editorial page. The cars themselves, some people feel that, you know, Central Park should have fewer cars, not more cars. Also, you know, to be frank about it, the drivers don't want to drive cars. They want to drive horses, and a lot of people still want horses within the city. You know, they feel it's a tradition and they feel like the horses aren't being treated poorly, that this is some sort of fabrication on the part of the other side. The other side, equally heated, will say that these horses are being abused.
Now, let's talk about the mayor and where he stands on this. He came out calling it, quoting from his website, the inhumane treatment of carriage horses, unquote. And he supported an immediate ban on the business, right?
Right. During the campaign, he said he was going to do it immediately. First, he said on the first day, then it became the first week. Now, if you ask him, it's more the first year. You know, look, whether this is politics or whether this is exactly what he believes, only he can say. But what I can say is that this group, NYCLAS, was extremely effective in getting him, in turning him from and also ran in the Democratic primary to the ultimate winner. They provided, in the words of their director, a platform for people who were incredibly unhappy with what was going on in the city. And that's not just the fact that horses were circling Central Park, but also the fact that many people saw Christine Quinn as too closely aligned to Mayor Bloomberg. So NYCLASS raised a lot of money, $1.7 million. It was a separate private group. So this is kind of taking advantage of an environment that was loosened under Citizens United, arguably. And they allowed people to really target Quinn. Probably the second most effective campaign ad. That probably seems a long time ago for people.
Yeah.
But people remember the Dante ad for de Blasio with his son. Probably the second most effective campaign ad was an attack ad that a group affiliated with NYCLASS ran that painted Christine Quinn as sort of a creature of old smoky backrooms.
So let's bring it back to recent politics now. And just last week, the mayor had a Google Hangout to talk about his first 100 days in office. And here's a clip from him describing how he feels about the horses.
It's just about as common sense as you could possibly think that a horse in the middle of the streets of Midtown, it doesn't belong, isn't going to be able to live the kind of life that it should and is going to create a dynamic for everyone that creates problems. And I think a humane society doesn't do that.
So, Josh, what do we know about the health and well-being of horses?
Well, you know, it's mixed. I mean, first of all, the veterinarians on both sides will argue that either the horses are fine or the horses are doing horribly. So ultimately, no one and everyone should recognize that no one but the horses themselves can tell us exactly how they're doing. But these horses are routinely checked. They're given exams. There have been some fatalities over the years that the opponents will point to. The other side will say, you know, these are few and far between. You know, the horses themselves are kept in stalls that are at least 60 square feet, and they have to have 5 weeks of vacation out in the country each year.
That sounds pretty good.
Well, you know, I've talked to so many experts on this, and you know, probably the most important thing for horses is that they're allowed to obviously, apart from their eating and their recreation and so forth, it's for them to socialize with other horses.
Really?
Yeah, they're very social beings. So horses, there might be a better situation where the horses are allowed to interact a little bit more than between just the bars of their stalls. The problem is that this is New York, and you know, you can't just exactly build like a 5-acre paddock in the middle of Central Park. My sense is that there'll be at least floated compromises where stables are built that are closer to where the horses actually trot around Central Park, so the horses don't have to go through the streets. But that's a while off.
Okay, so let's go to a call. We've got John in Paramus, New Jersey. Hi, John.
Hi. Quickly, I think the horses should be allowed to be in Central Park only, not in Times Square or the theater. And I think they should have a dedicated time to leave the stables on the west side, close the lane off on the street, and a dedicated time to come back, you know, at 8 o'clock at night or something like that and close the traffic. I don't disagree they should be banned, but they should not be in around the theater district and Times Square at night, because I drive for a living and it's really a hassle. They shouldn't do that. And one other thing, you know, they want to get rid of the horses. What makes you think the horses are going to go to a better life? They could go to some farm and be just as badly treated anyway, or mistreated or whatever. So I think they live a pretty good life, but I do think they should be out of Times Square. They should be limited only to Central Park.
Thank you so much, John. Josh, that point that he makes, John and Paramus makes, is that how do we know that life is going to be any better for these horses in these sanctuaries?
Well, the legislation would say that they have to be provided for in an area where, you know, they're not, let's say, being turned into Jello or something like that. I mean, they're doing something. That's part of the legislation, and I'm sure that idea that John is floating is going to be part of these discussions within the city council. You know, by the way, this was supposed to happen again a few months ago. The mayor instead concentrated on people and other issues on pre-K. His political clout is diminished right now, And at the same time, and this is a story that we're running now on New York One, one wonders whether the opponents of the ban, that is the industry themselves, have really gotten some momentum behind them. I'm looking at the front page of the Daily News today. They have this campaign to save horses. It's not often that the New York Post and the New York Times editorial board agree. They're on the same page with this. You have unions who are backing the drivers. And also, I imagine that you're going to start to see transit advocates say these cars are not a good idea. Again, we should have fewer cars in parks rather than more of them.
So, Josh, we've actually got a carriage driver on the line, Steve Malone, based here in New York City. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Thanks for calling in. What do you think about that listener's idea and Paramus that they should only be restricted to the park, that these horse-drawn carriages should not be anywhere else?
We are restricted to the park 95% of the day, as it is right now. We are only allowed in Times Square after 11:30 at night when the traffic has subsided. So, you know, that doesn't really hold too much water with me because we are restricted to the park. The idea that we're driving these horses through Times Square in the middle of the afternoon and this nose-to-tailpipe existence doesn't exist. You know, we're in the park 95% of the time. See, and as far as this closing down lanes, you know, you have to have some sort of cause and effect. We don't have accidents going back and forth to the stables. They're very, very rare. So I know, as John says, he drives for a living, and I'm sure he does a very good job at what he does. I would hate to think that I would be causing an effect on his job by closing down streets and not allowing him to do his job properly just because people want to see the horses walk up and down free of cars.
So, Steve, the mayor's idea to preserve your job, instead of horses, you would potentially drive an antique car. How do you feel about that?
He's not preserving my job. I'm a businessman. I own a business. We have 72 small businesses. Part of this plan also, which hasn't been touched on, is let's talk about the fact that they're going to seize my personal property from me, my personal horse. I've done nothing wrong, okay? I have done nothing wrong. My horses are as healthy as any horse in this country, and I'll put our horses up against any horses in this country. Horses need regulation. There's 144 pages of regulations to protect the horse in all kinds of conditions that was passed in the city hall in 2010. So his business plan steals my horse, or New York Class's business plan, I should say, steals my horse, and then gives me $150,000 worth of debt to buy this antique car that doesn't have any market. It's preposterous.
Steve, it's Josh here. What are your thoughts about, considering the fact that the mayor is so much on record opposing your industry, and same with the city council speaker, doesn't it seem to be that there has to be some sort of face-saving compromise reached, perhaps where lanes are blocked off or perhaps where the horses are moved closer to where 95% of your runs are?
Well, listen, if you're proposing putting stables in the park, nobody here in the industry would be against it. You know, we have bicycle lanes all over the city. We can definitely do that. Closing streets down, I don't think, is the proper solution. I mean, the last thing that the carriage industry wants to do is to upset other New Yorkers trying to earn a living. So, you know, I don't think that's an alternative solution. As far as the mayor's, you know, plan, I've met with many city council people that have been against us, many that have come to us, have seen the stables, seen the care, and then have changed their mind. And that's what we hope to do with the mayor. We just would like to get him to come to meet us. As far as him calling it inhumane society, I look at it the other way. We have 144 pages of regulations. That's what a humane society does. A humane society puts its animals and cares for them in the proper way with five different agencies overseeing them. You know, we're not running back alley business here. We're out in the public. We're out front. Josh, you know yourself. You called me within an hour. We had you in the stable. We're an open book.
Yeah. Well, I would imagine. I mean, he says that he is going to be meeting with you. So I imagine that's.
Yeah, we look forward to it. We absolutely look forward to it.
Okay, Steve, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. And we're going to go now to Paula in Manhattan. Paula, are you there?
Yes, I'm there. Hi.
Tell us what you think about this.
One thing that I read or heard a couple of weeks ago, which really prickled me because I am a pro horse and carriage person. I think that they are so regulated and, you know, so integral to the city. They're like the gondolas in Venice. You can't have New York without them. But with the real estate angle, and hearing your speaker talk more about moving the stables to the park, which is a great idea, once again points to that so there's a real estate interest in the stable property. And I'd like to know more about the legitimacy of that claim.
Thank you so much, Paula. Josh, that's sort of what Liam Neeson has been writing about, right? He's suggested that the ban was funded by real estate interests who want to develop the land on the far west side that now house the stables. Is there anything to that?
Well, here's what I can say. That land is extremely valuable. It's been recently rezoned. The subway, the 7, is going out there, so it's no longer, you know, sort of this no man's land. At the same time, I can say that that NYCLASS is bankrolled generally by someone who made a lot of money in real estate, but they are vehemently dismissive of any suggestion that he's after anything other than the welfare of the horses. He's a horse lover, they say. The actual – you know, that's the best I can do as far as reporting both sides. But I will say that that real estate line is something that has a tremendous amount of traction among those who want to keep the horses as is.
Now, listeners, we have a full board of people calling in, but no one who actually supports the ban. So we're going to try to save a line for you. Call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. If you do support the ban of horse-drawn carriages. Josh, Liam Neeson also mentioned an idea of moving those stables to the park, and the Daily News quotes the head of the Central Park Conservancy coming out against the antique car idea. But I wonder, would he like to host the stables?
You know, I haven't asked that question, but I will after this. I will definitely get their people on the line. I think that, you know, it's some land in Manhattan is extremely valuable, and no doubt taking away land from one use and putting it to another is going to upset some people. But it just seems to me that we're at least heading in that way as far as the conversation is concerned. There's really a lot of pressure on the mayor right now. And, you know, I'm not sure that he has the votes within the city council to pass this. He, you know, he's supported strongly by unions, and those union folks, the drivers, I think to their credit, unionized with the Teamsters because it gave them more power. And, you know, I think that the mayor is going to be under a lot of pressure from, you know, not just the drivers, but their colleagues, their Teamsters. The UFT is on board, the teachers union. So there's a lot of pressure there.
Okay, so let's go to Catherine. She's calling from Brooklyn, New York, and she has something to say about stables. Hi, Catherine.
Yes, hi. How are you? I was just mentioning that there was a huge stable with private horses in it on the Upper West Side a few years ago that was taken over to become luxury housing. So all of those horses and the riders and the people who gave lessons for horses, they were removed totally. And those horses used to come in the park. I said, it seems like a campaign to take the horses and the horse industry out of New York City, because that was one of the last places you could go horseback riding. Now you have to go up to the Bronx or some other borough. I think that they should move some of those taxicabs out of the park, make a lane, and make areas for those for the horse carriages to be in the park. And I said also there is a huge stable there that was designed for horses originally in the park. You can see it when you go off the transverse. And it's being used for police department storage. So I think that they should just try to use the resources that are within the park right now and get some of those areas cleaned up and put the horses and the carriages in the park. I'm sure people would use some just as much. They don't have to be down around 50th Street and in the theatrical area. I see them coming down sometimes when I'm on the West Side Highway to go around to the stable. That's even dangerous during rush hour.
Catherine, thanks so much for calling in. I'm Anoush Zomorodi, sitting in for Brian Lehrer on The Brian Lehrer Show, and I'm talking to Josh Robin, politics reporter at New York One, about whether or not carriages drawn by horses should be banned here in New York City. And Josh, what do you think about what Catherine said?
I think it's really interesting. I can say that there it's going to require a lot of space. There's not just one stable on the west side that currently houses the horses. There are a number of them. They're multi-story, so they're horses living like humans. They're one on top of another. And there's going to be all sorts of questions about whether, you take over private land and convert it to something else. I will say that I'm sure that the property where the horses are currently located is awfully valuable. So maybe if the horse owners have invested like in a co-op in that property, that they would end up doing well and maybe get, free space at a stable run by the city. It just seems like there might have to be fewer. What I'm told is that there would have to be fewer horses within the city for that to happen. But I think that whether that happens is still remains to be seen.
Okay, we do have a caller who does support the ban. Let's go to Madeline in Brooklyn. Hi, Madeline.
Yes, hi. I just really think it's a no-brainer. And I was telling, the gentleman I was just speaking to, I moved back to New York City in 1989 after living out of town for 10 years. And I remember going on a march the day after Thanksgiving. There used to be a march to support animals. And going by the carriage horses and people were against it then. That was 25 years ago. I don't think this is anything new, and it's not about how they care for their horses. They're changing the conversation to make it about that. It's really about that horses are at risk on the streets of New York City. They've been injured. There have been fatalities. I think that there could be some kind of agreement, maybe just to have them in the park and have a stable in the park. I think a lot of us have made changes in our lives when you become aware of things, and these guys can do the same.
Yeah, it's interesting that there have been fatalities over the years. There was one report from the health department last year, and I think that the statistics is something like 6 million trips back and forth from horses with 4 fatalities. There have also been, it should be noted, a number of human fatalities, pedestrian fatalities. And, while I was riding on these horses and doing the stories on it, I kind of looked over and, I can't tell the horse looked okay to me, like didn't particularly look jumpy. But I looked over at a pedicab driver.
Yeah.
And they look really unhappy a lot of the times. I mean, they're also going nose to tailpipe. So
is all of New York City inhumane is what you're saying?
Well, I am saying that it would be also – I know that the horses don't have a choice in the matter, but it would be also interesting for – people to realize that there are human jobs that go on in the city as well that are, that are difficult for humans.
Do we have any idea about how the treatment of carriage horses compares to, say, racehorses at the aqueduct?
I don't know. I think that they're both highly regulated. I think that there's more reports of impropriety at the racetracks. You hear reports about that all the time. There is a decent amount of regulation that goes on within the city. I think arguably the opponents would say that it's not nearly enough and that, the horses can't go out when it's extremely hot or extremely cold. But nonetheless, they're, standing waiting for fares, whatever the temperature is, for a long time outside of the Plaza Hotel. They say that that's not an ideal by any stretch environment for a horse to be in.
Okay, so we've got another call from a carriage driver, Dave in Manhattan, of course. You're on the line.
Hello.
Hi, Dave. It's Manoush here sitting in for Brian Lehrer.
Okay. I've talked to Brian a couple times. The only thing I could add, Steve, I've known for years, who you were talking to earlier, put it fairly eloquently, is that any accident, first of all, has to be put in the context of the amount of rides. Josh just noted 6 million rides. I go by 68 carriages, 2 shifts, 136 shifts per day, 9 hours per shift, extrapolates to well over 350,000 equine hours annually. And you put the context of the accidents with that, and you're really negligible. It's an extremely safe industry. Everything that's coming out of the opposition is mendacious. They just don't seem to have, first of all, large mammal equine vets on their side. I've yet to hear one. If this is so abusive, then why don't we hear a compendium of large mammal equine vets weighing in on this? I've heard vets come out on their side, but it didn't come out that they were equine large mammal vets. They were possibly dog and cat vets. That would be like a general practitioner commenting on cardiology. You know, the a large mammal equine vet has spent his career studying equine metabolism and muscular skeletal situations. And the other thing is the real estate angle is absolutely true. Nislik, the guy who put up the money for NiClass, his firm, Edison Properties, in 2008 came out with, I don't know if you call it a prospectus or an analysis, but it very specifically designated the carriage properties as underutilized, underdeveloped.
Josh, what do you say to that?
Well, I was wondering what you say to those who believe that just the horses standing out in the elements is not in their best interest, you know, the fact that they're lined up on Central Park South.
Well, having been raised in northern Indiana, where the elements are a little more severe in the wintertime, there's horse farms all around where my parents live, and the animal who has a choice to be in the barn or out in the fields, that's what horses do. They're grazing mammals. They stand and essentially look for food, but the carriage drivers take food with them. So I'm not so sure that is a really valid argument. I mean, you could say in the heat we're sent in, we're not allowed to stay out, and in the cold as well. And even if it starts raining hard, the SPCA would come and send us in.
Dave, so, Manoush here, what about the socialization element, the ideas of, you know, horses need other horses?
That's true. And the stables in the stables in the city are such that the horses can contact a box stall has two neighbors, and the horse can contact or is nuzzling the horse in the next stable to that sense. Plus, the horses aren't in – most of the drivers out there have – the horses are 6 months in, 6 months out.
Dave, I'm curious, have you seen video of these – horseless carriages that are around? I'm just really curious to hear whether you all are talking about that, if you've seen it, what you think of it.
Well, I know of the various proposals. This electric car is just idiotic.
But one of the owners of another stable, that's what was reported on WNYC, is floating using the actual carriage but just putting a golf cart motor underneath it. Well, what's the deal with Chateau stables?
I don't know. I think they're ponying up for the possibility that we may be outlawed, so they're coming up with probably something else they could use. I mean, people come to the city to take a horse carriage ride. You don't pet a bumper at the end of the ride and try to feed the carrot. I mean, if you can come up with evidence that supports that the horses shouldn't be there, then possibly that would be the way to go. But there literally is nothing that supports that argument.
Dave, thank you so much for calling in. Listeners, if you haven't seen this video, Josh, I don't know if you saw it. It's basically, as you said, by the Chateau Stables. It's a carriage that is run by, I believe, an engine from like a golf cart.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks kind of like Halloween, like Headless Horseman. It's like a carriage without a horse. It's a little bit spooky, kind of, but also they say completely green and would solve the problem.
Well, it's interesting that this group that has made their money on horses now may be seeing the writing on the wall. And, you know, this – I should note that they have tried this electric – under different circumstances, but they have tried the kind of vintage cars in San Francisco. Again, different circumstances, but the after a number of years, the firm did not make any money and it closed.
Okay. We've got another caller on the line who is supporting the ban. Dave, you are – David, you're on the Upper East Side in Manhattan?
Yes, hello.
Hi there. You're on Brian Lehrer's show. Yeah. Tell us what you think about the carriage rides.
Okay. I'd like to report an incident when I was walking on the Gray Lawn in Central Park late at night. And a carriage was inside the path on the where he was not supposed to be there. And he was riding in the walking path at Gray Lawn. And I'm sure he's not allowed there because I never seen a carriage riding on the Gray Lawn. Over by the Delacorte Theater, and sick of the ball, I was crossing the street. I was crossing the street at the park one time, and this the horse carriage was coming on, and he never stopped to allow me to cross the street. Why? Because he had his back turned to the traffic, and he was talking to the people on the carriage.
Okay, David, thank you so much. Josh, I guess it's like little stories like this that sort of. And this is the reason why we're sitting here really talking about this. It's people like David who have, you know, a story that the horses cause trouble.
Right. People have, yeah, I mean, it's not all positive people don't always have positive experiences from the horses. Some people don't like, apart from the fact that they're, you know, being kept there, they don't like the smell. They feel like they should be not in the city. You do get an awful lot of people coming there, you know, buying a ride as well. This is, you know, it's a really interesting issue. You don't have to be an animal lover to find the issue fascinating. And you know what? It's not going to go on. It's not going to end for a while. This is going to get, in my mind, more and more contentious, especially once you see a bill introduced by the city council. You're going to see crazy protests.
Well, and that's my last question, really, before we wrap it up. Are we now in a negotiation? Does the fact that the mayor didn't act on day one as he promised and now thinks it will take till the end of the year, what does this mean? That we might see further protections or limits on the horses, but not outright elimination?
I really don't know if right now the votes are there. And I think that the mayor's side has really let momentum slip by them on the other side. You know, the Daily News is on this campaign. The unions are getting involved. People are getting riled up. Polls show that most New Yorkers don't want them banned. So I don't know. I don't know if this is going to swing the other way, absent, God forbid, something happening to one of the horses. So, you know, we'll have to see as the nice weather continues. Right. I think a lot of attention is going to be on it.
Well, I'm sure you'll be back talking about this. I've been talking to New York One reporter Josh Robin, who also happens to be my husband. I'll see you at dinner time, honey.
Okay. Bye.
Coming up next, we're going to talk about the Beige Book. Trust me, it is not as boring as it sounds. WNYC's Ilya Marritz will be here after the break. I'm Manoush Zomorodi, sitting in for Brian Lehrer.